Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. I'm going to read a couple scriptures with you right now, then we're going to pray. How many know the first qualification for needing healing? How many know what that is? You got to be sick, right? I don't recommend being sick, you know, but, you know, if you're sick, you can be healed. Here's the truth. If you're sick, you can be healed. You know, they came to Jesus, the one leper said, "If you're willing, you can make me whole." And Jesus said, "I'm willing." Another father said, "You know, if you can, like, do something." And Jesus said, "If I can?" He said, "Nothing is impossible to them that believe." Any believers here today? Nothing is impossible to the believers today. So just turn to yourself, speak to yourself right now and say, "You're a believer." Listen, you're a believer. What do we believe in? We believe in the Word of God. We believe the Word of God will not return void, but when we declare it, we speak it, He'll watch over it to perform it. So here comes some Word. You ready for some Word? All right, Isaiah 53:4-5. "Surely He has borne our sicknesses, He has borne our griefs. Surely He has carried our sorrows, He has carried our pains." I love that. Though the word there, "carried," is Enasa, "my pain." And I always think of NASA as the place where you send rocket ships into space. And so I always think my pain was shoved in a rocket and sent to nowhere, gone forever. Pain never, ever has a right to touch me because the Word of God says He carried it. If Jesus carried your pain, you don't have to anymore. That's the Word of the Lord. This was Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied. It was a prophecy about the Messiah, a prophecy about Jesus. "As yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him." So that what was necessary for us to get absolute peace, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, totally whole. Everything necessary for me to walk in total peace was put on Him. Literally, the Bible says the world was judged in Christ. So Jesus literally died. One died, everybody died, so that all could be made alive through the one act of the finished work of the cross. He died, but that's not the end of the story. He's risen again, and He's seated on high. And literally, He says positionally, we are seated with Him in heavenly places, far above every single rule, authority, and title, and anything that can be named. We reign above every single thing. How awesome is that? I wish that were true. It's absolutely true. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth doesn't make you free. Knowing the truth makes you free. You can read it, you can memorize it, you can do all of it, but you got to know it. That word knowing is to become intimately acquainted with it. Make it yours. Know the truth, and the truth will not offer freedom or be a way to freedom, but it'll make you free. If I say to my son, "You see those peas there? Eat the peas." "I'm not eating the peas." "You eat the peas or I will make you." If you know the truth will make you. The truth has power to make you free. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:16-17, "When the evening had come, they brought Him and many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out evil spirits with a word, and He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken in Isaiah," which we just read, that it might be fulfilled. What's fulfilled mean? Fulfilled. Isaiah prophesied it, and Jesus fulfilled it. In Jesus' life and ministry, He fulfilled it. How did He do that? He cast out demons with a word, and He healed all who were sick. Don't you wish Jesus was here right now? He is here right now. By the power of the Spirit, Jesus is here right now. Christ in you, you is the hope of realizing the glory. So He's here today. And every single thing that He did was not just lovely and wonderful to prove He was the Messiah. He did all of those things as an example to show you how believers live. When you read the Gospels, don't be the helpless person who's in need. Be Jesus. When you look at that, put your name. And then Jesus went out and His shadow healed everybody. Then Carl went out to McDonald's just to get a drive-through, and people were chasing him down in their cars just so that the shadow of his Cadillac might go over them and heal them. The days are coming, says the Lord. And they now are. It was fulfilled what Isaiah prophesied. He himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. He took my pain. He took my sickness. He took my pain. He took my sickness. He took my pain. He took my sickness. Where did he take it to? To the cross. It was fully paid for. It was paid in full. It was done. It got stamped. Paid in full. You don't have to carry it anymore. Paid in full. First Peter. Now you got Isaiah, you got the Gospels, you got the life of Christ, and then you got Peter speaking about Isaiah and speaking about the life of Jesus. It says he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. In himself, he bore every one of your sins, past, present, and future. You don't have to approach God with a sin consciousness because Jesus set you free. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Problem is, our mind gets all cramped up going, you mean even the stuff and the screw-ups I'm going to do next week, God's got it covered? Yes. That sounds too good to be true, isn't it? Isn't it awesome? It's true. He's got it covered every single bit. And that doesn't mean you should go out and do it. It means because his love has exploded in your heart, you live out of his love, his life, his power. And only what comes from him is worth anything, and it's only his righteousness that's worth anything. So let that bubble up out of your spirit and be everything he called you to be. Look at Peter said, he bore that on the tree, having died to sins that he might live for righteousness, that having died to sins, I died in him and I'm alive in him. So I'm dead to sin and I'm alive for righteousness. Righteousness, that means that spiritually I'm correct so that I can go to heaven. No, righteousness means body, soul, and spirit, you are totally right. Every aspect of your life, totally made right with God. When, Pastor? 2,000 years ago. Finished. Done. It's yours today. You just got to receive it and walk in it. Can I get an amen? All right. And then look what he says. What did it say? What did he say? He said, he took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. He said, by his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you were healed. Oh, no, I'm not healed. No, by his stripes you were healed. Yeah, no. By his stripes you were healed. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, done, and the word of their testimony. What do you say? See, the blood shed, the objective part is done. The only thing left is, what do you say? You see, the word accuser there is the word categoreho, the Greek word categoreho, where we get the word categorize. And you see, when you go to the doctor or you go someplace, people will categorize you. People will put labels on you. They'll say that you have this or you have that or you've got something else. But you see, when you come to Jesus, it says, by the blood of the Lamb, you are set free from every category. And by the blood of the Lamb, you get a new category from him. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the categorizer, the accuser, how do you overcome the accuser and the labeler? You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, finished, and now what do you say? I agree. By his stripes you were healed. I am healed. Amen. There you go. A lot of healing took place right there. Boomba. Bernard Duver came up and read Psalm 103. A couple verses here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Why would the Lord have to tell us to forget and all his benefits? Because he's got some experience in this, and he's found that some people forget. And he's saying, and by the way, don't forget, there's some benefits along with this whole redemption. There's some benefits of being a child of God. There's some benefits of this relationship, and please don't forget them. What should I remember? What should I remember, Lord? Remember, don't ever be sin conscious anymore. Don't let that shape our relationship, because I've forgiven all your sins. All iniquity I've removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And another thing, I have healed all your diseases. And please, don't forget that. Bless the Lord about it. Be grateful and thankful about it. Because how do you receive a gift? You say, thank you. Thank you that I am healed in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Thank you that I am healed in Jesus' name. Last week we talked about the book of Mark. And we talked about the faith that they had when they opened up the roof of Peter's house. They couldn't get in, but they wanted to get the guy to Jesus. I mean, they had to figure out where Jesus was in the house. I mean, they didn't want to drop Peter down in the bathroom. It wasn't Peter, it was the other guy, but they didn't want to drop the guy down in the wrong spot. They wanted to find out where Jesus was. They found out where he was. They figured out this part of the roof needs to go so we can get him right in front of Jesus. They dropped him down, and he was totally healed. But what Jesus said to us, your sins are forgiven you. Pick up your bed and walk. You see, all the religious people were like, only God can forgive sin. What's going on here? And Jesus said, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say pick up your bed and walk? What's easier? Now, if I said today we're going to have a salvation line over here and we're going to have a healing line over here, so the wheelchairs come here and people for salvation come here, what line do you want to pray for? I'd like to pray for the salvation side. Why? Because you think it's easier and this is harder. We got a mindset that healing is hard. Healing is difficult. Why? Because we have been there's been such a massive demonstration of sickness that we look at it, and it's so big in our eyes that we have a difficulty believing people can be set free. Now, if I asked all of you, could you lead somebody to Jesus? Most of you go, sure, no problem. But if I asked you, pull that person out of the wheelchair. You first, Pastor. Good answer. But you know, Jesus literally said, it's the same thing. Because it's the same blood of Jesus. It's the same finished work of the cross. It's the same work that saves you. And inside of that word save, sozo, and salvation, soteria, inside of that word is health, life, healing. It's all there. Amen. I came that you might have life and that you might have it almost good enough to be free of sickness. I came that you might have life and have life to the fullest. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right, so right now, if you're not well, if you're sick, I just want you to raise your hand. If you need a touch in your body, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. It's all right. That's the first qualification for healing. You need to be not well. All right, raise your hand again. Just let other people look around, okay? Because I don't want to wait till the end of the service to pray for people. I'd like people to be healed now. I'd like people to be bothering me while I'm preaching, saying, excuse me, but I'm healed. All right? It's annoying when I have to do that. But, you know, okay, hands are still up. All right, look around somebody near you. Put a hand on them right now in Jesus' name. Because this is a believer's anointing. It's not the pastor's anointing. It's not Benny Hinn's anointing. It says it's a believer's anointing. It says believers will lay their hand on the sick and they shall recover. All right, so this is All Out Healing Sunday. So we're going to believe for healing right now. And amen. Amen. Let all the believers say amen. All right, right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we speak to every sickness, every disease, every spirit of infirmity. We curse it now in the name of Jesus. We loose healing into every body right now. Father, we agree with our brothers and sisters. We unite with them in their belief. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that the power to heal is present. So we loose them right now from every affliction and every disease. We say right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be made whole. Amen. Amen. That was good. Now, all hands back down. Ha, ha, ha. All hands back down. How many felt something happen in your body? Right there. Thank you. Who else? You felt something happen in your body while you're being prayed for. Thank you. Thank you. Who else felt something happen in your body? What you need to do is you need to be trying to figure out if something happened. You need to check and see what happened. We had a gal here on Wednesday night. Her name's Jocelyn, and Jocelyn lives in Sarnia, but she articles for a law firm here in town through the week, and so she's here through the week. So she comes to our Wednesday night group, but she listens to the webcast before she comes, goes online and listens to the sermon. She was listening to me preach last week about healing, so she believed what was preached, and she said, I agree with what this guy says. I see it in the Word. I agree. So while she was listening, she just laid hands on herself because she's had a chronic shoulder condition with pain in her shoulders. And she said, Pastor, while I was at work today, I was listening to you preach, and I laid hands on myself, and I was totally healed, and the pain left my body. I just love it when God does some current stuff. Amen? And you know, if he did it for her, he'll do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. You don't have to be special to qualify. You just have to believe. Amen. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to just another 15 minutes or so, and we're going to wrap it up. Are you ready? We're going to pray for some more people. Yeah, if you had just a radical, crazy healing in your life, come on up, talk to my wife while I'm preaching, share it with her. Because, you know, your testimony of what just happened to you while we've been sitting here helps other people realize that you can be healed. So don't be afraid to share. The Wednesday before that, we had George was here, and George had kidney stones, and he had to go to the doctor to have them dealt with. And I had a word of knowledge, kind of just in fun. I was saying, honey, we should finish up with some words of knowledge on the camera. And as I was saying, it's funny, but the Spirit spoke strongly to me and said, I'm touching kidney stones right now. And as I shared that, George put up his hand and said, I got kidney stones. It's very simply, very easily, I just said, Stephen, you're beside him, lay hands on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, those kidney stones are gone. George went to the doctor the next day to have them looked at with a, this time they wanted to do a 3D ultrasound to figure out what was there. And his doctor came back out and said, okay, so like they're gone. So he said, you must have passed them. And George went, well, if I passed them, that'd be painful, right? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, yeah, no pain. But my church prayed. We believe in a Jesus who prays. So that's just a couple. Those are current stories. Like, those are a few things, like just the last little bit. I mean, Bobby had kidney stones, prayed for him at his house. He was totally healed of kidney stones. He was supposed to go up and dealt with, and he asked the doctors, please, I believe they're gone. Could you, before you do the procedure, could you do another x-ray? Because I think they're gone. They said, oh, they don't go unless you pass me. He goes, I'm telling you, they're gone. Did an x-ray. They were gone. So kidney stones are gone. So if you got kidney stones, say, thank you, Jesus. You know, Bill right here was healed of tuberculosis, was in a sanatorium with tuberculosis. And then he called, this was in Britain, and he called the elders of the church. They came and anointed him with oil. And he was totally healed and left the sanatorium with a new set of lungs. When Bill wanted to immigrate to Canada, he had to fill out these forms to immigrate to Canada. And he's filling out these forms, and it says, if you had tuberculosis, he said, yes. So when he went for his interview, they're going like, well, you can't go to Canada if you've had tuberculosis. He goes, well, I did have it, but I don't have it anymore. Well, either you had it or you don't have it. I mean, what's the deal? No, you see, I did have it, but I got healed, and I don't have it anymore. Well, you can't tick this off. Well, I can't lie. I had it. And so they did some x-rays and found out that Bill, they said, man, those lungs have never had tuberculosis. He goes, no, I had it. No, these lungs have never had tuberculosis. I know, but I did have it. Like I said, I got prayed for, and it's gone. I got new lungs. Stop that. Go to Canada. We've had people here healed of leukemia, healed of MS. We've had people here with severe epilepsy as a child. Joshua Fairweather had severe epilepsy as a child, and the Lord healed him. He went back to the doctor and said, I want to get off this epilepsy medication. The doctor said, that'll cause seizures. He says, but I'm healed. He said, well, we're going to have to do a scan and find out what's going on. And they did a scan, and his doctor came back to him and said, I have seen you in seizures. I've seen the fits you had as a child. Those things cause damage to your brain. There are scarring in the brain from those seizures. He said, so I've seen you have seizures, but the brain that's in your head has never had a seizure. Okay, that's good. We got lots of other ones, many, many other testimonies. So many things I've seen growing up in church because we believe Jesus Christ is our healer. And we believe by his stripes you were healed. We believe that. Amen? How many believe that? Amen. How many feeling God touching your body right now? That's awesome. That's good. Okay, are you ready? Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, going to read a little bit real quick. Just want to lay a little bit more of a foundation for you because, you know, it's knowing the truth, amen? Knowing the truth. So a lot of times what we really lack is just revelation. So I want you to get the revelation really clear. Because, you know, you can get healed because of a healing anointing, and that's wonderful. But the best type of healing is the healing that you walk in because you know it's yours. And nobody can take it from you, and you don't need to find the next Benny Hinn meeting because you're walking in your own revelation of your loving Father. So that kind of revelation is what we want to walk in, every single one of us. So here's Jesus, and here's one of the historical events in his life. And it says now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Keep your hands there. Keep looking at that. But sometimes, don't you want to know, what was he preaching? What was he talking about? He went to the Sabbath and he preached. Well, we see a lot of scriptures, a lot of places, many places in the Gospels talk about what he was preaching. In one place in Mark chapter 4:23, it says, Jesus went about Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He even said, I must go to many other villages, many other places, and I must teach the gospel of the kingdom. His first sermon, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He said, he read, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. He said, today, I am the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am anointed of the Most High God. I am anointed to go out and to heal the sick, the blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the lame walk. I mean, the deaf hear. I mean, boom, Jesus said, I am anointed. I am the Messiah. I am the new king. There's a new order. There's a new reign. There's a new way to live. I'm here to introduce it. Repent, line up with it, and you get to live in it too. That was the message. So here's Jesus in this synagogue, and he's teaching about the kingdom. And many of the religious leaders are probably shocked on who does he think he is. And he's teaching that, you know what, all of this reign of sin, this reign of death, this reign of hopelessness, this reign of despair, I'm here today to declare to you it's over. And I'm here today to declare to you there is a new reign because there is a new kingdom. And if there is a kingdom, there is a reign. And in this kingdom, it is a reign of righteousness. It is a reign of freedom. It is a reign of deliverance from sin. It is a reign where you are reconciled to your Father. It is a reign of the very life of God himself. And that's what Jesus was preaching. So he's preaching the reign of the kingdom of God. Romans 5:17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, that's a kingdom, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Say gift. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, there was a reign, but Paul lays it out for us. There's no longer that reign. Even though that reign is still in place, I am introducing to you a new reign that overrules and supersedes that reign, and it is the reign of Almighty God, and it's a reign of righteousness from the abundance of his grace. Romans 5:20-21, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign. Even so grace might reign. Even so grace might reign through righteousness to the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we see that. We see this whole message of liberty and freedom. So go back to Luke. Back to Luke chapter 13, verse 11. It says, and behold. Now, a lot of translations don't have the and behold. The new Revised Standard has, and then suddenly something happened. It's like something happened. Behold means behold. Like, behold. Something happened. A lot of passages or translations say, and then. But something happened. Something happened. It says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Like the Amplified, it says, was the spirit of infirmity that caused her to be bent completely forward, utterly unable to straighten herself up. She could not even look forward or upward. Wow, that's pretty nasty stuff, eh? All right. So, but Jesus saw her, and he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Now, I like that. Now, I got to explain this to you because you may not get it if you don't hear this. You got to understand that even today in synagogues, men and women do not sit together. And in fact, in some synagogues, there is a barrier between the men and the women. And in Jesus' day, in Capernaum, there was a balcony, and the women were on the balcony. And often between the women and the open area where Jesus would have been teaching, there's a lattice work. So not only are they on the balcony, but there's a lattice work that they have to look through to see what's going on. So the women are completely separated from the men. Jesus is teaching down here. There's a balcony up there. There's a lattice work. And behold, there was a woman, and Jesus saw her. Now listen. Julie, can I bother you for a minute? No, you don't think so. I want you to bend over and face the ground. Further, further. Oh, there you go. Now, Julie, what I want you to do is just tell me what you see. What else you see? She sees my feet. Now, this was a woman who pretty much knew everybody by their feet. And Pastor Cheryl used to have awesome feet. They had corns and things that were just wild. They're interesting feet. She had surgery on her feet that removed all the, what do you call those things? Barnacles? Bunions. But you would immediately go, like she would have immediately gone, oh, Pastor Cheryl. I mean, you had one bunion had its own postal code. It was amazing. But literally, this woman would have known people by their feet, would have known people by their shoes, and was bent over like this for how many years? 18 years. This is pretty rough stuff. So, Julie, what I want you to do is, could you do me a favor? Stay bent over and go right to the very back of the house, all right? Go all the way to the back. Watch out for the post. Now, there, what a miserable life that would be. Now, what I want you to understand is that Jesus is hanging out with the fellers. He comes in, he's seated down the front, and he's teaching and preaching, and often they sat down to preach. As he handed the scroll back, he sat down and he preached in Luke chapter 4. Now, imagine that this woman is sitting there somewhere in the congregation, and even if this were, you know, a place where, you know, it was just separated, ladies at the back, men at the front, amen. I mean, I'd have a hard time even seeing Julie. I mean, she's still standing up, but this woman was seated back there, and she couldn't bend up. And I can't really see Judy. I can't see Julie. And yet, and there was even a lattice work. There's all these obstacles, and yet Jesus saw her. Behold, there was a woman. Boom. Behold, something happened. There was something that took place that made this woman outstanding. So behold, there was a woman. But Jesus saw her and he called to her. Come on up here, Julie. It's all right. You can come back up. How much fun is that? That's pretty rough, isn't it? Like Jesus literally calls to her and he says, woman, he sees her and he says, woman, come up. And she comes walking up, and he said to her, woman, you are loosed from this infirmity. He touched her, and boom, she was healed. Well, what's that all about, Pastor? I mean, why do we have to go through all of that? Well, it says he laid hands on her, and immediately she was healed of her infirmity. You see, something happened because she did something that made her stand out. And I want to tell you something. Here's the thing. God is not moved by your pain, by your sickness, or by the things that are going wrong in your life. Oh, thanks for that. You know what moves God? Faith. Jesus went to a lot of places where people weren't well. He went past the Gate Beautiful several times, where the Gate Beautiful, the guy was there all his life. Jesus went by him to the temple several times, and Jesus didn't heal him. But on the day Peter and John went, they loosed a miracle and they healed them. But you know, God Almighty is moved by faith, and that's the way it works, that you have to manifest faith. Literally, it's like there's a big radar screen in heaven, and he's looking out, and then all of a sudden, this is beep, 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 beep. Faith popped up, and then Jesus looking up, somebody up there just came up on the faith radar, and something just popped up. I can't see through the lattice work very well, but there's something. There's a woman up there right now, and I tell you, you're healed of your affliction. There's a woman up there right now. You're bent over, been like that for years. You're healed right now. You just popped on the radar. Why did she pop on the radar? Because Jesus was teaching that there's a new reign. There's a new rule. That reign of oppression is broken off your life. You can be free today. And all of a sudden, she went, beep, 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 beep. I believe that. She popped up on the screen. Is there really a radar screen in heaven, Pastor? Jesus can recognize faith. Jesus was always looking at faith, looking for faith, inspecting faith. He was always, in fact, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? He's looking for believers. He's looking for people that are believing. Let's go to Luke chapter 13, 14. It says, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, he didn't say to Jesus, he said to the crowd, because that's what religious people do. They don't try to confront the pastor or come into truth. They make 25 phone calls and complain about what they don't understand. Jesus talked to the crowd. He said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, are legally obligated to work. Therefore, come and be healed on one of those days, but not on the Sabbath day. Fella, this lady's been in your church for 18 years. Okay. So then the Lord answered and turned him and said, you hypocrite, you pretender, you player, you phony baloney. He said, does not each one of you loose your ox or your donkey from a stall to lead it to water on the Sabbath? And yet it's wrong for us to heal this woman of this affliction? You are phony. You are a hypocrite. You are a dog. My own paraphrase there. All right. So look at now verse 16. I mean, religion always gets mad when people get healed. Religion cannot handle the goodness of God. Sadly, it just can't handle how good God is. But God's going to break through that. Can I get an amen? Luke chapter 13, verse 16. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Ought not. Say ought and say being. Now the word being is the Greek word on. On. Say on. This woman being a daughter of Abraham. The word on is a present participle. Go look it up. All it says is being. What is that word? That word is being. It is a present participle because it has the ing on the be. When you take a be and you add an ing, you turn that into a present participle because ing makes it being, and that makes it a present participle. Thank you, Pastor. Some people have a hard time reading the Bible correctly because they're not literate. But thank you for the grammar education. Now look, I got up there. I want to be a believer. I want to be a believer. But here, let's turn it into a present participle. I am being a believer. You can have all kinds of people in a room who want to be set free. There's some who say, I want to be set free. But who is here who is being set free? See, there were people listening to Jesus when he preached who wanted to be set free. But there was someone who came on the radar who went, meep, there is someone being a daughter of Abraham right now. Not trying to be, but being a daughter of Abraham. You could be like your father. Now you're being like your father. See, it's the whole thing of I have access to be like my father is totally different from actually being like my father. She is being a daughter of Abraham right now. And Jesus said, because she's being a daughter of Abraham, I have to heal her. Being a daughter of believer. What does it mean? She's being a daughter of Abraham. What does that mean? She's a Jew? No, it's way bigger than that. Listen, in Galatians 3, 7 and 9, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. What is she is being a daughter of Abraham? What does that mean? She is manifesting faith. She is being a believer right now. Woo! Because why would he say, look, a daughter of Abraham? Oh, we're all Jews here. No, not all of you. She is being a daughter of Abraham. She's not saying, I got the DNA. She's saying, I get every privilege that goes along with it. I am being a believer. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Are you being a believer? I'm a believer. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. And that was way before the law. In you shall all nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Hallelujah. All the promises of Abraham are ours through faith. It's about believing. Galatians 3, 26 and then 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. If you believe in Jesus Christ today, you are an heir of Abraham. You are an heir of the promise to Abraham. Every blessing on Abraham comes to you, which is incredible if you read about it, because it means life and health and prosperity and wholeness. And it means that you literally are a vehicle through whom now God wants to bless and disciple the nations of the world. I'm a son of Abraham. Romans chapter 4, 4 to 5. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. Listen to that, please. Now to those who do work, the wages are not counted as grace, but a debt. If you say that you're having a problem, and I want to help you with that problem, and I'm going to take care of it for you, that's grace. But if you have a problem, and I want to help you with that, but instead of helping you, I'm going to say, would you come clean my house, cut my lawn, wash my car for 5 months, and then I'll help you. That's not an act of grace. I am honoring a debt. They did something for me. I owe them the resources. See, there's a lot of people that are trying to fill up this big bank. I've done all this stuff, God. Now you have to heal me. You see, if you're doing a whole bunch of stuff to get healed, it's no longer grace, it's a work. And you don't get it because God wants to give it to you. You get it because God owes it to you. Now, God, I covered everything. I took the healing course. I checked off all the boxes. I fast every Thursday. I wake up early. I go to bed late. I'm in church every time the doors are open. I mean, have you heard people pray like this? Father, what a wonderful soul. I mean, they're such a beautiful soul. If anybody deserves to be healed, oh, Father, this one deserves to be healed. That's cockeyed. Because, you know, if I do anything for God trying to make him in debt, look, I've been serving you, dude, so you better be there for me. You know what? I serve God. I do tons of things for God. You know why I do it? Because I love him. Some people do stuff and it's all works. And you got another person doing the same stuff and it's out of love. Does that mean the stuff was wrong? No, it means the motivation was wrong. Doesn't mean serving God's wrong. Serving God is fantastic. I love it. I can't wait to do more stuff for him. But I do it out of a relationship of love. I do it out of freedom, not out of bondage. But it doesn't mean what you were doing was wrong. It means you had the wrong motivation. Some people go, I was doing stuff for the wrong reasons. I quit and everything, not doing anything anymore. Well, please do something, because believers function. Oh, yeah. No, you see, if your motivation was wrong, don't change what you're doing. Change your motivation. Thank you, Pastor. Can I get a drink, honey? I'm going to finish up really soon. Can I say that? I love this. Look what it says. It says, but to him who does not work, say not work. Not work. But him who does not work, that doesn't mean you don't go get a job. Okay? So, but him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Or any ungodly people. Oh, I'm a saint. You are a saint. But you know, here's the beautiful thing. Here's the message of good news to the ungodly. You don't have to get godly for him to manifest his love for you. You just have to believe. All of his promises come this way, all of them. There's not one that comes another way because it's all got to be grace, so it all has to be by faith. Who's still feeling good? Who's getting a little bit of revelation, just a little? Who's mad at me? Awesome. All right. Listen, but he justifies the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. His faith, his believing, is credited for him as righteousness. Man, I love this stuff. I'm going to read you out of the message now, the message paraphrase. So we're talking about she's a daughter of Abraham. Zacchaeus, when he went to Zacchaeus' house, he said, salvation has come to your house. You are a son of Abraham. Same principle. Why? Because he manifests faith. Look at this. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. This is out of the message. Romans 4, 17 to 18. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. I'm so holy. I've achieved a high state in God. I have read the Bible, memorized all kinds of chapters. I am holy God. You deserve me. You should bless me. Abraham got God's attention not by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in the scriptures? God's saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many peoples. Abraham was a first name father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do only what God could do, to raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. He decided not to live on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he became the father of a multitude of people. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. All right, let's move on really fast now. Here's another word. Are you ready? Ought. Ought not this woman be healed? Ought not this woman who is being a child of Abraham? So if you are being a child of Abraham, it equates to being a child of God. If you're being a child of Abraham, it says, ought not this woman, and this word ought is the word day. That's how you pronounce it. It's day. It says, ought not this woman being a child of Abraham, ought not this woman be healed? Ought not this woman be healed even on the Sabbath? Now that word ought, look it up. It means it is necessary of the law. It is a command. It is a duty. It is an equity necessity. It is established by the counsel and the decree of God. He is saying, I have a legal responsibility. I saw it. She manifests faith. I have a legal responsibility to loose healing in her life because she is a daughter of Abraham. And every daughter of Abraham has the legal right to be totally loosed and set free. So he had it. There was a heavenly obligation that Jesus had to fulfill because she, boop, up on the screen of, I believe, I believe, I believe. And believing isn't hard. Isn't hard. Because she was being a believer, Jesus had to heal her. Luke 15, 22. We're coming to a rapid conclusion. Are you ready? Luke 15, 22. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, the ring, bring out a ring, bring it, put it on his hand, and put sandals on his feet. Pastor, that's a crazy torner. Where are we going now? I was just so impressed when Pastor Shell preached about the prodigal son. But you know something? You know what's amazing is I've got shoes. I got shoes. You know what? Servants don't have shoes. They don't have sandals. Sons have shoes. And you know why you have shoes? Give me another screen. Give me another screen. A son has shoes. No more barefooted believing. No more barefooted believers. No more. I've been given authority to trample down every single work of the enemy. And these shoes, my sandals, the fact that I am a son, I have shoes to trample on every single work of the devil. Give me one more screen. Here we go. Romans 16, 20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Go ahead. Just take your shoe off. It's all right. Don't worry, everybody's doing it. They won't know if it's you who stink or them. I'll tell you something. Healing is not fragile. The Holy Ghost isn't fragile. I mean, this is real simple. We got to believe the Word of God. It's not like we got to have some crazy environment or everybody please be quiet. No. You know what? You're healed because of the finished work of the cross. What gives you the right to be healed was done 2,000 years ago. I can't add to it or take away from it. It's finished. It's yours. And every single person here today, you have a legal right to be healed. The legal right to be healed comes to not people who want to be a believer, but it comes to people who are being a believer. The only question is, are you being a believer today? Are you being a son of Abraham today? Are you being a child of God today? Because it says children of God believe. Abraham did not get God's attention because he did something holy or perfect. He got God's attention when he was nobody because God wanted to make something of him. And he simply plain believed that God could call things forth that didn't exist. You could be here without a spinal cord and we can say, let there be spinal cord. You got your shoe off? Just whack the chair in front of you or the person beside you. You ready? If there's any blindness, you got glasses, you can't see, your prescription just got ugly, that's you. You ready? Let there be sight. Oh, my, that was good. It's all right. I helped build this. It's okay. If I built it before, I can build it again. Arthritis. You're under my feet. I'm a child of God. I got shoes. I'm a son in the house. I got rights and privileges, and I ought to be healed. Arthritis, you got to go in Jesus' name. Ha ha! High blood pressure. High blood pressure. Yeah, it's run in my family. Well, it doesn't run in your family anymore. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. And you know, if you're a child of God, you have a legal right to be healed. You have a legal right to be whole completely. And you don't have to work at it. He's just got to receive it. And you know, it's all under your feet. Anybody got shoes? You got shoes? You got spiritual shoes, too. You got spiritual authority over all these things. What were we talking about? High blood pressure? Who'd like to get their high blood pressure totally healed, done, set free right now? Come on, because that's just wrong. It's wrong because I was promised righteousness. So high blood pressure, you're gone now in the name of Jesus. Now, some people walk in unbelief. They won't even take off their shoe. Oh, it's too hard to take off my shoe. All right, for all those people, it's hard to take off your shoe. All right? All right, you can put your shoe back on. This isn't complicated. It's the power of God that heals, delivers, and sets free. And it's yours right now in Jesus' name. Come on, how many have actually felt your body's been touched? You put up your hand early in the service, but you feel your body's touched right now. Wow. Put your hands up really high so people can look around. You came and you were feeling something, but you feel something different in your body right now. That's really awesome. That's really good. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name right now. Jesus' name. Oh. Sutarababarabase. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to want to pray for people, lay hands on people. If you want to be anointed with oil, we'll do that too. We just want to minister to folks, and I don't want to keep everybody, you know, here all day. I can bless you and let you go, and we can minister to folks. But just one more time. You came in, and you were feeling afflicted. You felt sickness in your body, but you feel better. One more time. You feel that. You got to do this to show people, all right? Put your hand up and say, yeah, I felt something. That's awesome. That's really, really great. Well, healing is a revelation you walk in every single day. It's just the same as, do you know that you're a believer? Do you know that you're born again, that Jesus is your Savior? Then it's the same faith that gets you healed and gets every other benefit in your life. Amen? Come on, stand up with me right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Could you do something for me, though? I wonder, would you come up here right now if you have pain in your body, any type of pain? You got pain. You've had suffering with any chronic pain in your body. Come on up here right now. And I want you to have pain right now. Like you got pain right now. Not I had pain last week or I had pain some other day, but you got pain right now. And you can feel that pain in your body. It doesn't even matter to me what the cause of that pain is. Just kind of line up so that you can kind of line up so you can face the front here, all right? I just want to go down and just pray for you all very, very quickly. All right, can you put up your hands right now? Put up your hands. And I was in Calgary, and I was in a large church in Calgary, and I asked everybody with pain to come up. And one guy came up, was just struggling with such incredible pain, had a bad back condition. And I asked him to stand up on the platform or face everybody, and the guy was in a lot of pain. And I just simply said, pain, go in Jesus' name. And the guy literally, his whole face went pop, and everything went pop. And the guy was radically healed right there in a second. It was just amazing. But it's so amazing to see the manifestation on his life. But I know that the Word of God says that he took your pain. He took your pain. And you know what? If you believe right now, do you believe? Do you believe right now that what we've read, what we shared about today is absolutely true? It really is. Then you know that you don't need to have that pain anymore. You ready? Right? What I want you to do is focus on the pain. Just folks to come along and all right. I know by experience, and I know because of the Word of God, which is way better than my experience. I know by the Word of God that we're going to free you from that pain right now, and the pain will leave your body. Now, it may seem really strange, but I'm asking you right now to focus on the pain. And the reason I want you to focus on the pain is because I want you to know that it's gone. So how do you know something's gone? Is when you don't feel it anymore, and the pain totally leaves your body. So I know the pain's going to leave your body right now. Because you are children of God, sons and daughters of Abraham, and you have a legal right to freedom. All right? Who can feel the pain? Just wave at me if you can feel the pain. All right, are you ready? This isn't even complicated. It's not complicated at all. Here we go. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all you folks that are here, the pain has no legal right to afflict you. In fact, I have a legal responsibility because of the faith that you've exercised, even by coming up and standing here. I have a legal responsibility to announce over you right now that you are loosed from your pain. You are loosed from any infirmity. You are loosed right now from pain being manifest in your body in any form or in any way. So I now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command pain to leave your body right now. Oh. Wow. Okay, just put your hands down. Oh, boy. Wow. You know, if the pain totally left your body, I want you to raise your hands up. Raise your hands up. The pain's totally left your body. Wow, that's awesome. It's awesome. The pain's totally gone. That's great. Did you feel it before? And it's gone now. That's awesome. Pain's totally gone? Totally gone. So how many say, you know what, I can still feel it, but I believe it got better. Put your hand up really high, though, if you believe it got better. Better. How many believe better is better? I hate those meetings where we go, well, praise God, some are healed as they go. And that is true, and I'm all for that, but I really want to see total results now. Amen? By his stripes you were healed, said in Isaiah chapter 53, that he has taken your pain, he's removed it from you. You don't qualify for it. In fact, you qualify for pain to be totally gone. There's no legal right for that pain to be in your body. I don't care what its root is or what its source is. That has no right to afflict you. It has to go. Because Jesus healed all diseases, everything, lumps, bumps, every single reason for pain, arthritis, all the itis family, Arthur, all the rest of them, they're all have to go in the name of Jesus. All right? So we're going to pray for you one more time. Here you go. Right now, in the name of Jesus, this woman was set free of a spirit of infirmity. And if this pain is attached to somehow a demonic oppression or a demonic attack, and all sin is rooted in that, or not just sin, but all sickness is rooted in the devil and the liar trying to attack your body. And he has no right, he has no place to do it. He doesn't have any. In fact, you know, you don't have to work for this, you just have to believe. So say this with me, I, being a child of God, am qualified for total healing, freedom from pain. In Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command pain, go! Oh, wow. Okay, put your hands down. Now we have two people here totally set free of pain. How many think that's pretty good? Oh, that's only two out of a whole bunch, Pastor. Better than nothing. How many now, the second time we prayed, you feel better? Put your hand up really high. How many would really, really like now say, I want this totally gone?